I actually bought a $12 watch from Big W so I could quickly look at my watch and see if I'm preaching over time. Because last time I was here, I think I preached over time. So I thought I mustn't do that. I'll buy myself a watch. A teacher asked her primary school children to write down some things that they were grateful for. One boy wrote, "I am grateful for my glasses." The teacher, knowing how much young boys hate wearing glasses, asked him, "Is that because they help you see better?" "No," said the boy, "I'm grateful for my glasses because they keep the other boys from punching me in the face and they keep the girls from kissing me." That boy needs prayer, doesn't he? This morning I'm speaking on the power of gratitude. And God's word tells us that we are to give thanks always. That is to continually have a heart of gratitude. And on your sheet you'll see Ephesians 5:20. We read, "At all times and for everything, giving thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God the Father." Well, that sounds easy, doesn't it? But I had an opportunity to practice gratitude last night. I just finished preparing my sermon for this morning at 10:30. And my wife came into the kitchen and said, "The toilet's blocked. I mean, really blocked. The water is just right up to the top." And I go, "Oh, no. Of all the times." So out I go, out down the back. I look in the inspection hole near the septic tank and took off the lid, and there it is, just the brown stuff is right up to the top. So I got a plunger, didn't I? And I plunged the plunger in and the brown stuff all came up. And I was covered in brown. My shoes were covered in brown. My jeans. So I went back up to the veranda and I took my jeans off, threw them in the bin, I took my shoes off, and I walked inside and I said to my wife, "There is no getting this working tonight." And she goes, "So what do I do for a shower in the morning? And how do I go to the toilet in the night?" And she was not happy. And she was grumpy. And I did not feel comfortable being around her. And I said, "Honey, could you type or print out my message for tomorrow morning?" And so she went and printed it out and she came back and said, "Oh, I suppose I should be grateful for the fact that we've got water." And yeah, she had a totally different attitude. And she felt good to be around again. And she said, "And I should be thankful that we've got the dog shower out in the shed and I can shower in the dog shower tomorrow morning. And I should be grateful that there's a toilet in the shed, and although it's blocked, it's not as blocked as the house one." And so, I saw firsthand the power of gratitude and how it changed my wife's attitude and how it changed our relationship. All of a sudden, I wanted to be intimate near her and hug her and say, "I'm so sorry." Whereas just before that, I'm going, "You'd let me out of here. I'm liable to get hit." But anyway. So why should we develop the practice of thankfulness and gratefulness? Because gratitude is one of the keys that makes life work for us and it makes life work for others. So Jesus' intention for us is not just to have pie in the sky when you die, but steak on the plate while you wait. And this is one of Jesus' keys for making life work and having steak on the plate while you wait. John 10 verse 10, and it's on your sheet I think, it says, Jesus said, I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full until it overflows. So that's steak on the plate while you wait. It's not just living a miserable life, unhappy here, hoping for the joys of heaven. No, it's joy here. So how does gratitude affect our lives? Gratitude makes us and others happier and healthier. Gratitude actually blesses us and it blesses others. Gratitude improves our marriage and our family life. Gratitude improves self-esteem. And gratitude actually increases our energy. And so gratitude is very, very important to life, to living life here and now. And so God's word instructs us to practice gratitude. So how? Number one, gratitude should be expressed with our voice. On your sheet, we can read 2 Chronicles 5 verse 13. Indeed, it came to pass when the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard, in praising and thanking the Lord, and when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever, that the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud, so that the priests could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house. So what happened is God's heart was so overjoyed when his people expressed with their voices their gratitude as they were praising him. He was so overjoyed that God showed up in a very unusual way as like a cloud of love falling on them. They were just so overwhelmed. I've actually seen this happen in Murray Bridge Lifehouse. And many years ago, the presence of God just fell on the church and almost everyone just started crying. I closed the service and said, if anyone wants to come forward just to pray, feel welcome. And almost the whole church ended up down the front. And that was around about 12 o'clock and they were still praying at 2 and worshipping God. It just, a cloud of the presence of God fell on the church. I only seen it once, and that was in Murray Bridge Lifehouse. So the Bible says, as they made one sound to be heard, in praising and thanking. So thanksgiving is a sound to be heard. It says we are to lift our voices. So if you have a heart of gratitude, it should come out your mouth. We need to vocalise, speak out our gratitude both to God and to one another. So now, husbands, you may appreciate your wife. And now, wives, you may appreciate your husband. Parents, you may appreciate your children. Children, you may appreciate your parents. Church, you may appreciate your pastors and leaders. And pastors and leaders, you may appreciate your congregation. But if you don't tell them, they won't benefit. They won't be encouraged. Unless your gratitude is expressed with the words of your mouth, everyone loses out. You lose blessing. The other person, your husband, your wife, your kids, will miss out on great blessing. On Wednesday, I went shopping for my wife and she gave me the shopping list. And every Wednesday when I get the shopping list, she'll say something on the bottom of the list expressing gratitude. This was last Wednesday. I've got it on my text message on my phone, but so I didn't have to look it up and waste time. I've written it down. She said, "Thank you. You are wonderful." That's me. Mr. Wonderful. "You spoil me. I am so blessed that you married me." I mean, who couldn't respond to words of gratitude like that? That made me happy. I didn't mind shopping to get that statement of gratitude. So number one, gratitude should be expressed with our voice or a text message. And number two, gratitude should be expressed through acts of service. Now we're going to read Mark chapter 10, verse 46 onwards. And you can follow it on your sheet. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus was sitting beside the road as Jesus was going by. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus was nearby, he began to shout out, "Jesus, have mercy on me." "Be quiet," some of the people yelled at him. But he only shouted louder, "Jesus, have mercy on me." When Jesus heard him, he stopped and said, "Tell him to come here." So they called the blind man. "Cheer up," they said. "Come on, he's calling you." So Bartimaeus threw aside his coat, jumped up and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked. "Teacher," the blind man said, "I want to see." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has healed you." And instantly the blind man could see. And then he accompanied Jesus on the road. He accompanied Jesus on the road. When Bartimaeus was healed by Jesus, the Bible says he accompanied Jesus on the road. He got on the Jesus team. Bartimaeus had such a grateful heart for his healing that he joined the road team. And he served Jesus on the road. He just packed up and off he went with Jesus. Are we grateful for what Jesus has done in our lives? If so, then let's get on the church team and serve Jesus by serving God's family, serving the church, serving people in need, serving people with words of encouragement, and so on. And Jesus said in Mark 10, verse 45, "For even I, the Son of Man, came here not to be served, but to serve others, and to give my life as a ransom for many." What a privilege to identify with Jesus in serving others and laying down our lives out of love for others. And we have so much to be thankful to Jesus for. And one way we can express our gratitude is to say, "Here I am, Lord, use me." And look, we all have God-given gifts. Even if we think we may not, we do. And so we can actually pray and look for opportunities, ways to serve others through the gifts that we have. And in service, we actually become healthier emotionally, mentally. And giving, serving, being kind is actually good for us. And sociologists have discovered that, and the Bible's said that for thousands of years. So spiritually, mentally, emotionally, rationally and physically, relationally, I mean, and physically, we are blessed by speaking gratefulness and you know, blessing others. My son Mark, some years ago, had sort of like an emotional breakdown and suffered severe anxiety for 3 years, so to such an extent. He was a pastor in Lifehouse Murray Bridge full time, and he basically could only work 1 or 2 days a week. For 3 years, he was that mentally damaged, really. And we just didn't know what to do. I thought he would never recover. And, you know, I just kept praying, but it just seemed that nothing was happening. And so we were considering having him take medication. And Pastor Bill Vasilakis and his wife Kathy, I said that to them, and Kathy said, "Don't you dare." She said, "I know the best psychologist in South Australia, and I want you to make an appointment for Mark with him." Guess what he told Mark to do? He said to Mark, "Every day when you wake up, I want you to express gratitude for 6 things. Every morning, gratitude for 6 things. And thank God for 6 good things in your life." And within a few weeks, Mark had recovered. And there was a book that he gave him to read as well, and I can't remember what it's called now, but just giving gratitude, thinking of 6 good things, good gifts from God. And he was healed in no time. He was just transformed. And the wonderful thing is that having learned all about anxiety and experienced it. He now has become an amazing counselor. And he is just booked up every day of the week because people talk and they say how my son Mark helped them. And so people, he's just flat out. And so he got blessed and then has used that blessing out of gratitude to God. He now serves others by sharing with them what the psychologist has shared with him. Number three, express gratitude to God and to others. See, gratitude strengthens our relationship with God, but it also strengthens our relationship with others, our workmates, our families, our husbands, our wives. You know what? No one feels comfortable with around ungrateful people. Well, last night, my wife was really ungrateful. I mean, she had a dog shower out in the shed, and she was really ungrateful. I mean, she had hot water out there. The dog gets hot water. And she was ungrateful. And I did not feel comfortable around her. You know, my wife and I have invited lots of people to stay with us over the years, usually because they were going through a rough time. And, you know, and most times it's been a joy that we've been able to support them, provide a roof over their heads. But we had one girl stay with us, and after a week I said to Robin, man, I can't wait for her to leave. And Robin said, you too. Why did we both feel like that? It was because she was just totally ungrateful. I mean, we laid down our lives for her. We provided everything for her, free of charge, no board. You know, we just provided all her food, and she was just totally ungrateful. And she never said thank you for anything. And she was demanding and unwilling to help out in any way. Wouldn't get up to help with the dishes. You know, it's just ungrateful. And you know what? Ingratitude is ugly and it damages intimate relationships. But gratitude is attractive and it draws us close to the grateful one. And gratitude is also attractive to God. And it draws God to be near to us. So gratitude is attractive to God. God, the Heavenly Father, loves to be around us when he sees a grateful heart. Just like when God showed up in that love cloud when the people were expressing thanks and gratitude. Suddenly, God turned up as a love cloud. And look at Psalm 22, verse 3 in the sheets. You dwell in the holy place where praises are offered. This morning, when you were all praising God, I closed my eyes and I could feel the presence of God. He showed up and he honored you with his presence. He wanted to be. He was attracted to you. I could sense his manifest presence as you were worshiping God, and it was wonderful. So when we're thankful to God, it draws him to us. You know, gratitude is an expression of appreciation and humility. Ingratitude is actually an expression of selfishness and it's an expression of pride. Psalm 138, verse 6 says, the Lord cares for the humble, but the proud he knows from afar. So God knows the proud, but he knows them at a bit of distance. You know, a little bit of distance. You know what? I think also pride, which is an expression of a thankless heart, also draws us away from God more than it draws God away from us. I think it has an effect on us not wanting to be close to God. Have you noticed how you feel repelled? I don't know if you have noticed, but you may have noticed that you feel repelled by ungrateful people. But have you noticed that you feel attracted to grateful people when they're grateful to you, when they appreciate you, when they express their gratitude for you, for what you've done, for your encouragement, whatever? You know, you're drawn to them. See, gratitude is divinely attractive. And it makes relationships beautiful and wholesome. Number three, express gratitude to God and to others. Number four, practicing gratitude grows your faith. Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. You know, all of us will experience times of anxiety, but we have a Saviour, Jesus, who hears our prayers and comforts us and strengthens us and delivers us as we pray for strength and for deliverance and comfort. And when we pray and we say, God, I thank you that you have heard me, it is an expression of faith. Because, see, I may not yet see the results of my prayer. I may not at the time feel any different. The things may not look different. But I say, Lord, I believe you've heard me because you promised you would. So I thank you in advance, even though I can't see it yet. And that strengthens our faith. I believe you've heard me because you promised you would. Thank you, Lord. That kind of prayer is an expression of faith. And so one important way to express our faith is through gratitude, even when we don't see any changes and even when things don't look or feel different. Oh, what time do I finish? I looked at my watch, but I didn't look at what time I started. Anyway. Oh, okay, we've got it here. 21.
Yeah, still got another 10.
21. Oh, I reckon I might even finish this morning on time. Okay, number five, gratitude sets the law of sowing and reaping into motion. Galatians 6, verse 7, don't be deceived, God's not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Luke 6, verse 38, if you give, you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full measure, pressed down, shaken together, to make room for more and running over. So when you give love and generosity, it'll be given back to you in good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over. It's like throwing a boomerang. What you throw out, it'll come back. I made some boomerangs. And Norma Osborne, who you might know, Pastor Bill Osborne's wife, who I've known for like 50-something years, Norma said, I'd love one of those boomerangs. And I said, here, take this. You can have it. And I said, you throw it at this angle and you throw it like that. And I said, and it'll come around and it'll come back to you. So she got up and she threw it and she goes, it's coming back. Look at that. I smacked her in the mouth and knocked the tooth out. So we don't want that sort of return, do we? Don't tell Norma I told you that story, okay? She might be a bit embarrassed. So when you express gratitude verbally or through acts of service, through gifts and material support, or through prayer, you throw a law into motion. It'll come back to you in good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over. So, law of sowing and reaping, gratitude brings that. At number six, a grateful heart opens the door to your life, of your life, to receive more blessings. Now, when your kids are grateful, and I hope your kids are listening to this, when your kids are grateful and they express gratitude for what you do for them, you know what? It makes you want to do more for your kids, doesn't it? And to be more generous to them. But if they're ungrateful and they feel like it's owed to them, it makes you reconsider about being so generous. You think to yourself, you know, if I keep giving to them when they feel like it's owed to them, then maybe it's not wise to be so generous. Maybe it becomes an unhealthy entitlement. And maybe I need to see a change in their attitude, or it might not be good for them. You know, if I make life too easy and give them too much and spoil them, is this entitlement? Maybe I need to reconsider. But I tell you what, when my kids are grateful, I just want to give them more and more and more. I want to bless them because I know they can be trusted with the blessing. And so, Deuteronomy 28 verse 47. Because you did not serve the Lord your God with joyfulness of mind and heart, in gratitude for the abundance of all with which he had blessed you, therefore you will serve your enemies. So God said to his ungrateful, selfish kids, he said, because you didn't serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness of heart and with gratitude for the abundance of everything, therefore you will serve your enemies. And that's what happens to people who have been entitled. They mess up their lives and they end up basically being ruled by their enemies because they haven't learned self-control and gratitude and unselfishness, and you know. And so we need to be people of gratitude. I'm going to always practice being grateful for the abundance of the things that God has given me. I want to be grateful to God, and I want to be grateful for things like my family, for my friends, for my church, for my health, the fact that I've got eyes that can see and hands that can touch and legs that can walk me to visit people. I want to do that. We all have a lot to be grateful for. But if you want to keep what God's given you, you need to maintain a heart of gratitude. If you want the door to stay open for more, you must maintain a heart of gratitude. Number seven, gratefulness brings you into God's presence and brings God's presence into you. I love this psalm. I pray it almost every day. I pray, Father God, I enter into your presence with thanksgiving and with praise. I thank you. I thank you for your name. Your name is Father. Thank you that you are my Father. Hallowed be your name, for your name is Saviour. I thank you for saving me. Father, I thank you and praise your name as Deliverer. You've delivered me from Satan. You've delivered me from death. You've delivered me from sin. Hallowed be your name. Your name is Mercy and Loving Kindness. You've just shown me loving kindness and mercy. Father God, I thank you for your name, which is Patient One. You're so patient. Your name is Kindness. You've been so... And that's how I commence my prayer time. I enter into your presence with thanksgiving and with praise. And I do that every day. And when, as soon as I start thanking and praising God, in gratefulness, the presence of God comes on me. I enter into his presence. And that's how... See, without gratitude, you don't even get past the gate. See, God has a gate, and the gate has a password. The password is, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, God. I am filled with gratitude. So if you want more of God's presence in your life, show him gratitude. And last one, number eight. Gratitude secures and protects the life, saved from sin and death. Over the last probably 10 years, my heart has been broken multiple times as I have caught up with friends, Christian brothers and sisters who I led to Christ 40, 50 years ago as a youth pastor at Seton Christian Family Centre Church and also in Murraybridge Christian Family Centre. And I've caught up with them to discover they no longer go to church. They no longer have faith in Jesus. They have turned their back on the family of God. and on Jesus Christ, the Saviour and the Lord. And it's just been devastating. Even young men and women who were on my leadership teams in Seton Christian Family Centre Church many, many years ago. And I've wondered why, and I believe it is here. Gratitude secures and protects the life saved from sin and death. And I believe that because I have been so grateful for God taking me out of the darkness of my life before Jesus, I just every day I thank God that He has rescued me from the darkness and from the depravity that I was raised in. And I made a couple of vows the day I gave my life to Jesus, and that was I would never miss church and I would read the Bible every day. And I needed the Word of God to wash me and to keep me pure because I was so perverted and twisted. And I needed the family of God. I needed to be with people who were good people and who loved God. And with God and with others, I knew I would be safe and my salvation would be secure. And see, forgiveness has been given and pardon has been granted. 2 Corinthians 5:19. It was God personally present in Christ, reconciling and restoring the world to favour with Himself, not counting up and holding against men their trespasses, but cancelling them. In other words, Jesus was punished in my place and your place. His body was broken for me and you. And He was shamed. He was crippled. He was broken apart on that cross. Torn open. Blood poured out. He was shamed. He was dishonored. And He was pure and holy. And He had been with God the Father in heaven for eternity. And to then be shamed and broken, the Holy One, the darling of heaven, He did that for you and me, punished in our place. Because of Jesus, all your bad actions, past, present, future, have been cancelled. The slate's been wiped clean. God's Son has died for every one of your sins. Jesus Christ became your substitute. He hung on a cross in your place, broken, battered, injured, that we could live whole lives. Now, here's a true story. And I don't want to be like the people in this story. And that's why I am determined to come to Jesus every day and say, thank you, Jesus, for making me whole. Thank you that you were broken in my place. Thank you, Jesus, that you were shamed so I could be honoured. That you were made unholy that I could be clean and declared holy. I don't want to be ungrateful. When I read this story, it's just amazed me. It's a true story. And you can look it up on Google and read the story for yourself in greater detail. I'll read it to you. In 1860, a ship called Lady Elgin was sunk off the shore of Lake Michigan in a storm. A student pastor by the name of Edward Spencer tied a rope around his waist and swam through the waves, battling breakers for hours, 6 hours. 6 hours he went backwards and forwards through huge breakers in the storm. Edward would grab a person in the wild sea and the people on the beach would pull them in. Then Edward would swim out again. He was actually a swimming champion. He was on the swimming team. He did that 17 times. After 17 rescues, Edwards collapsed and passed out. Only 17 people out of 300 passengers survived. And Edward was so badly injured that he was never able to complete his studies and he was confined to a wheelchair for the rest of his life. He got so battered and broken and just wrecked. The tragedy of this true story is that even at the end of Edward's life, not one of the 17 people who he saved from certain death ever came back and thanked him. Not one. I cannot believe how ungrateful and selfish each one of those 17 people were. It's inconceivable to me how any person who was saved from death at the cost of that young man's health and life could be so unwilling and ungrateful to express love through thanks or friendship or service to assist the young man whose body was broken for them. But this is the great tragedy. What a tragedy for the 17 that they did not enrich their lives by spending time with this magnificent young man, a young man who valued precious people more than his own life, who said to his brother on the day as he collapsed, "Have I done enough? Have I done enough? Could I do more? But could I get one more?" But if he'd have been able to get up, he would have died. But he was willing to do that. It's just that he collapsed and fainted and wasn't able to. And in fact, they wouldn't let him. You know, it's inconceivable to me how a person who's been forgiven and saved from sin by Jesus could not love him and visit him and get to know him as friend. To me, it's inconceivable because I remember how I was and where I was when Jesus rescued me and forgave me and remade me through the cross. See, Jesus' body was brutally broken for us. Blood drained out of his body. And may gratitude in words and in service be our response to Jesus who saved us for all eternity. May each one of us be a person who practices a life of gratitude. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for the keys in your word that give us life here and now. And this is life, to know him, Jesus Christ, who you have sent. And Father, knowing Jesus is life, not just life eternal, but life here and now, steak on the plate while we wait. Because we can't come and spend time with Jesus every day without our lives being enriched by this magnificent Saviour, Jesus Christ, God in human flesh, died, risen again from the dead for us. And so, Father, I pray that this key to steak on the plate while you wait, to an abundant life and a rich life here and now, that we will employ this key, that we'll take that key and we'll use it every day. That the sheep that we've received this morning will stick on the fridge. So we remember gratitude. So once a week we read through and remind ourselves to be grateful and express that gratitude with the words of our mouth to our husbands, to our wives, to our children, to our neighbours, to our friends, to our brothers and sisters in Jesus, to our pastors, to our congregation. Because as we take that key, we open the door to a treasure house. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Brendan.